Jesus, heal my heart so that I might be truly free. Have you ever been told not to do something and you still did it? I remember as a kid, my mom would tell me, Eric, stop dribbling the soccer ball in the house. You're going to break something or hurt yourself or hurt one of us. At no point did I ever stop and go, oh, Mom, now that I know this truth, I've been freed by this truth to know that I should not do this and therefore I will never do it again. And the next day I did it again and inevitably something broke. Or you hear in today's gospel or the teachings of the church that that is a sin. And yet we know this. We don't want to sin. We want to follow Jesus. And yet we still do it. Paul captures this idea very publicly and honestly in his letter to the Romans. The things I do not want to do, I do. And those that I should do, I do not. What will become of me? Paul himself, in a very honest, humble, and public way, acknowledges, I struggle. And yet the book of Sirach says, if you choose, you can keep the commandments. But you know, it doesn't feel that easy. Yes, doing right and choosing not to do wrong is a choice, an act of the will, ideally motivated by love. But in our broken human condition, just because we know we shouldn't do something, and even we don't want to do it, doesn't mean that we can actually avoid it. So what do we do? There's all kinds of suggestions and ideas on how we can overcome this. One of the more popular ones today is, well, as long as we live the Beatitudes, which is in Matthew chapter 5, several verses before what we heard from today in the gospel, well, as long as we keep the Beatitudes, then there is no sin. You can eat, drink, and be merry. Nothing matters as long as you live the Beatitudes. The Beatitudes undid the commandments. The commandments no longer apply. We're free in Jesus to do whatever we want. It sounds ridiculous, but even Catholics propose this idea. Dare I say, even bishops from Germany. In the first reading today, the book of Sirach says, no one does he command to act unjustly. To none does he give license to sin. And so immediately after the Beatitudes in today's gospel, Matthew chapter 5, immediately after the Beatitudes, Jesus goes on to explain the Ten Commandments and how they apply. That's what we heard from today as Father Wagner proclaimed the gospel. And it really goes down to an issue of the heart. Unless your holiness surpasses that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Or how were they holy? They white-knuckled it. I know this is wrong. I can't do it. I can't do it. I can't do it. But I want to do it. But I can't do it. But I want to do it. But I should do it. But it's really nice. But I can't do it. And then eventually, after white-knuckling it, you get tired and everything goes crazy. We hold on as long as we can, but the desire of the heart always wins out, and we end up doing what we should not. That's how they lived. They kept the external laws, but their hearts were far from him. He called them whitewashed tombs, full of dead bones, because on the external, it looked really nice. They did everything by the law, but interiorly, they were full of malice and hatred and anger and all sorts of things. How do we overcome this tendency to do wrong, even when we want to do right? The church in its traditional teaching calls it concupiscence, this natural tendency to do the wrong that we constantly have to fight against through prayer and the sacraments and fasting and almsgiving. It's like a car with bad alignment. We got it with bad alignment. There's no way to fix it until we're in heaven, God willing and granted. So in the meantime, we've got to adjust the steering wheel and hold on to keep it straight the rest of our lives. We do that through prayer and fasting, the sacraments. We've got a bad alignment, if you will, and that won't get fixed until Christ returns or we see him face to face. So what do we do? Well, we can't say that sin is no longer sin. The Beatitudes did not undo the commandments. That's why Jesus says very clearly, do not think after he gives the Beatitudes in Matthew's gospel, all nine, do not think that I've come to abolish the law or the prophets. I've come not to abolish, but to fulfill. Thou shalt not isn't simply an external, rigid decision by God of laws to show that he can control us. God is trying to free us from the slavery of sin. And every external sinful action starts in the heart. Remember when Satan tempted Eve with the apple, the fruit of the tree? She looked at it and she said, "Oh, it was beautiful to behold. It looked kind of tasty. Maybe I'll take a bite." The beginning of this freedom starts with acknowledging that, honestly, before God in prayer, that I want to do these things and I like them. And I know you forbid them, God. We got to be honest with ourselves and stop pretending. We've got to acknowledge the fact that there are certain sins that we really like and enjoy or would like to try, and those that we could care less about. And we begin there by being honest with ourselves and our brokenness and the desires of the heart that are not ordered toward our salvation, that are not ordered toward authentic freedom so that we can truly love. And then we bring our brokenness to the Lord. "Lord, I want to do these things. You tell me I shouldn't. Set me free." Maybe our desire to do these things come from trauma, growing up as kids, abuse, bad example, traumatic events and experiences, addictive personalities, genetic dispositions towards such. Maybe it comes from experiences where we've suffered, and so now we're trying to compensate. And Jesus wants to meet us there at the heart, here in the parish of the Sacred Heart, the first parish of the Sacred Heart in this state, to tell us it's here that it all begins. It's here where the battle is won or lost. It's here that my heart was pierced by your sins, mine, and yet flowed forth blood and water for our forgiveness and freedom. It all begins at the heart. What do you desire? Be honest. Tell the Lord. Ask him to shed the light of the Holy Spirit on where this disordered passion comes from. That's where he wants to meet us and heal us, to set us free, so that no longer constrained by these disordered passions, we can be free from the law because we no longer desire to break it, so as to love our neighbor and live the Beatitudes as Christ proclaimed them. The Beatitudes are for those who no longer are constrained or feel constrained by the Ten Commandments, but find freedom from the desire to break them so that they can live a positive life in service to the gospel. The Beatitudes are for those who are free, because our religion is not about thou shalt not, but what we can do in the freedom Christ has won for us. Too often our Catholic faith there is perceived as a bunch of rules and laws and regulations. You can't do this, you can't do that, you can't do this, you can't do that. Wrong sin, wrong bad, no. And maybe you grew up that way, with a ruler in the hand of a nun, or a belt in the hand of your parents, or something similar from the catechist. But the Lord is saying, "I want to heal you where you are not yet, your heart is not yet free. So that free from these desires, you can be free for me." The teachings of Christ today are very challenging. It challenges a lot of Catholics today married outside the church and living with someone in a married-like way. It challenges all of us who, in anger, do horrible things. It is not easy to hear. And it's a lot easier to dismiss sin and just live in the freedom of the Beatitudes because the commandments no longer apply. But the father of lies, good at his own game, is easily discerned and clearly revealed. The truth sets us free. But that freedom and that battle for freedom comes not by us white-knuckling it, not by us appearing holy, but by being honest from the heart to the Lord in prayer, and if we are as bold as St. Paul, even publicly, though we should not be confessing our sins publicly necessarily. Paul recognized that even after the call and encountering the risen Christ and proclaiming the gospel to the ends of the earth and suffering greatly for the gospel, he still struggled. He knew what he should do and what he shouldn't, but he couldn't simply conform his life to it. Maybe that was the thorn in his side that he mentions. We don't know. But one thing is certain. Paul showed us what it means to be a saint. A saint is a sinner that never stops trying. And always in prayer and in the closest of confident friends, go to the heart. "Lord, this is where I'm broken. This is where I'm wounded. This is where I'm not free. I acknowledge it. I recognize it. I own it. Please heal me. Shed the light of your Holy Spirit on my heart to know where I have been wounded and where your heart wants to meet mine. And washed in the blood and water from your side to heal me so that I might know the joy of true freedom in your love. Freedom not just to avoid what we should, but to do what we can because of him. Lord Jesus, heal my heart so that I might be free. Lord Jesus, Sacred Heart of Christ, heal our heart so that we might be free.